Today I'm going to be sharing with us what I've titled, What Do You Believe? Amen? What do you believe? And I'm going to start off by reminding us what the Lord has told us for this year. Amen? This is our year of harvests, joy, open doors, possibilities, and overflow. Amen? More than you can handle. Hallelujah. And so let's go back to that theme scripture, Psalm 65. We're going to start off from there. This is what the Lord has told us he will do. And the question is, what do you believe? The Bible says, and permit me to read from the New Living Translation. It says from verse 8, those who live at the ends of the earth stand in awe of your wonders. Whose wonders? God's wonders. From where the sun rises to where it sets, you inspire shouts of joy. You inspire shouts of joy. What came to me when I read that is that God will punctuate your life with moments and times of supernatural intervention beyond your comprehension. Amen? That it will cause you to just burst out in praise. Just suddenly you begin to sing praise and just get excited. It doesn't matter where you are, because you know sometimes you want to hold it in. Whether you are in the boardroom or in the break room, you receive that text message, you receive that email, you receive that call, somebody hands that note to you. You can't hold it in. You just begin to praise God. Amen? I mean, imagine if everybody in the world, wherever they are, you know, as soon as they receive a miracle, they just explode in praise. Imagine the noise in the world. It's about to get very noisy in the world. Amen? It will get very loud, because what you're going to hear is somebody is shouting down the road, and right across from him, somebody is shouting. Why? Because God has done something marvelous in their lives. Amen. A lot of times and I thank God that our brother shared that testimony, because sometimes you think nothing is happening. A lot is happening in the lives of people, and we ought to tell of it. Amen. You don't wait for a special service to begin to tell your testimony. Just rise up. Send that testimony in. We want to celebrate what God is doing. Hallelujah. The Bible says here in the next verse, verse 9. And before I read that, let me just read Psalm 115, verse 16. The Bible says, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's. But the earth he has given to the children of men. The earth he has given to the children of men. Okay. Now, verse 9 of Psalm 65 says, you take care of the earth. Who has he given the earth? Us, right? Okay. You take care of the earth and water it. For who? For who? Who is God watering and taking care of the earth for? The earth that he gave to you. He now takes it on himself to water it and take care of it for you. He says, making it rich and fertile for me. The river of God has plenty of water. It provides a bountiful harvest of grain for me. Everything is working for my good. I don't know about you, because, I mean, you are hesitant in saying for me. So I'm going to have to prophesy for myself. Amen? Glory to God. Why? Because God has ordered it so. I love how our pastor said, God has commanded it to be so. It's not something you bring before the Senate or before the floor and then they debate on. No. There are no deliberations on this matter. It is settled. The Bible says, forever, oh God, your word is settled. Hallelujah. So what do you believe?
Do you believe that it has been ordered so for you? Glory to God. So when you wake up in the morning, you know favor is working for you. You know that wherever you go, it will work in your favor. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Oh, we bless you, Jesus. The Lord will make sure that you are sufficiently supplied with all you need at every time. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 10 says, you drench the plowed ground. What it means is that you have done your own bit. That plowed ground, he doesn't plow it for you. You have to do the work. Amen? So you put in your work. You do your due diligence. The Bible says, I haven't done all. So you've done that. The Lord now drenches that ground for you with rain, melting the clods and leveling the ridges. It means that whatever has been set to hinder your progress or to stifle the work that you have done, like that HR that is refusing, that the Lord has already drenched the ground, softened the ground. You know, when in Africa, when you go, you know, before you get married to anybody, you don't just go have lunch with somebody's father. No, you have to. No, there's a lot of respect there. So what happens is, before you get there, you do something, you wet the ground. Amen. You might just take care of the brothers and sisters every once in a while, get a few gifts, uncles and aunties, so they can speak in your favor. Parents still have final authority there. So, the Lord softens the ground for you. And he says, and he blesses its abundant crops. Sometimes people work. You are expecting an income, expecting certain rewards, but it doesn't come. Somebody has stopped it. Or maybe the company goes under and you lose all that money. The Lord says he will bless that crop. In other words, your harvest is secure. You have no fear whatsoever. Amen. And not only is the harvest secure, it is abundant. Glory to God. Glory to God. He said he's getting double reward. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Hey, we give God praise. We give you praise, God. God has already started working in the lives of people. If only we can believe. You crown the year with a bountiful harvest. Even the hard pathways where people say it's not working, those difficult areas, he says they overflow with abundance. Ah, there are no impossibilities with God. Glory to God. So way before you stepped into this year, God has made a provision. He is not trying to gather something for you. Abundance is set for you already. What do you believe? What do you believe? Do you truly believe that harvests, joy, open doors, possibilities, overflow is possible for you? Do you believe that your vision is possible? Let us look at Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, verse 21 and 22. I think I should just read 22. In the Amplified, please. He says, something hit me a while back. You know. See, what you believe will either raise a wall or create a door for you. What you believe
a lot of times, it's not the devil. Our pastor has been talking about your belief system, right? What you believe will either raise a wall. And what that means is it creates limits for you. It restricts you. Or it will create a door for you. Give you access to opportunities. It's all about what you believe. A lot of people have been kept under, have been limited in their life, all because of the belief that they have, the traditions that they adopted. Not because some voodoo priest somewhere was concocted. No. You believe something that stopped you from moving forward. You have a particular mindset. Let us read Mark chapter 2 before I move on. Verse 22, the Amplified. And the Bible says there, "And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the wineskins, and the wine is lost, and the bottles destroyed. But new wine is to be put in new fresh wineskins." New Living Translation says, "And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the wine will burst the wineskins, and the wine and the skin will both be lost." Now it now says this: new wine calls for new wineskins. New wines call for new wineskins. What God is doing in this season requires that we have a new mindset. The new vision you have, the new ideas you have, cannot ride on your old mindset. I'm not talking about old people. I didn't say old people. Old ways of thinking. You cannot see, you cannot appreciate or attract the promises of God for your life if you hold an old mindset. If you are so big on religious and traditional thinking, that was the biggest challenge for Jesus when he was on earth. Check it. Those who were supposed to be the religious leaders, he was always having friction with them because they had come up with a system, a tradition that went against the dynamic way God operates. They restricted God completely. They just limited the move of God in the lives of people. They sold it out to everybody around. So they made it up. But it wasn't God that was limiting them. It was their thinking. New wines require new wineskins. The new ideas, the new visions, the new concepts that you carry is only possible when you have a new way of thinking, a new way of seeing things. That is when it's possible. It says that you cannot place new ideas into old mindsets. You cannot get new results with old behaviors. Somebody once defined insanity to be doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. You're doing something over and over and you're expecting that is a definition of insanity. If you want a different result, then you better be doing the right thing over and over again. Your new ideas require a new way of thinking. Our thinking must change for us to be able to attract, appreciate, and appropriate what God's promises are for us. It's a total waste of time for us
If we insist on our way of thinking and expect that a change will happen in our lives. Listen, this whole harvest and joy and all of these things we are talking about will only go over our heads. If we want to insist on how we used to be, what we used to believe. Oh no. Oh no. You know, the people of old, back in the day, they say, take the whole world and give me Jesus. Oh no. Give me the whole world and give me Jesus. In fact, you can't even give me Jesus. He has freely been given to me. So I receive Jesus and I take the whole world. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's true. How many times have we been limited? You know, I remember, I'll never forget this experience. When I was in the UK and somebody was telling me that you can never progress, you can never move on, you can't, it's impossible for you to get anything done without lying. Now, they believe that so strongly. And that is the way they function. This is not an unbeliever. They believe it strongly. And that is the way they function. So for them to get ahead, they have to lie. And I refused to lie. And I made it through. Amen? What do you believe? You know what you believe. You know what you carry on the inside. When you hear the word of God, when you hear the vision 2020, do you feel excited? Do you feel like, oh, it is possible. Oh, I'm so ready. Or do you feel like, oh, well, we heard it all before. Last year was accelerated victory. But here we are. Oh, no. When you believe, I don't want to get ahead of myself. You know, I'm too excited about this message, you know. I just want to hit the road and, you know, just maybe send the notes to everybody and just go, get going. Amen? But I have to preach it. Hallelujah. You cannot be held back when you have the right mind. You cannot be held back. Everybody that has made any significant change or advancement in the world had a different way of thinking. Most times they were even ostracized, they were just cast out. I mean, this is impossible. Check every single person. They didn't follow the bandwagon. They didn't follow the current day way of thinking. No. They had a different way of thinking. If we were stuck with the same way of thinking as our forefathers, we will not have the phones that we have today. Somebody had to step out of line so that the world can move forward. Amen? You can't be doing things the same way every day and expecting something brand new to break out from somewhere. No way. If you are stuck, you know, something many years ago, God told me, he said, listen, for you to experience upgrade, you have to update your information. Can't be operating based on outdated information and you think you want to function in today's world? It's impossible. So for you to experience change in your world, change your thinking. If all you think is impossible, it can't. They said this is how it's going to be. Well, they said this is how it's going to be. My God said he has ordered it so. So whose report will you believe? I was listening to the radio this week, and there was this, I don't know, interview, a bunch of industry leaders talking about manufacturing in Ohio, how they experienced record profit last year, that things are actually moving forward, and they are looking forward to, you know, they need more skilled workers, professionals to come into the industry. The problem is
Maybe for the unskilled, they have just a few. But those who are skilled, trained, there are too few. Why? Because a lot of people are still stuck with old, outdated information. In the days of artificial intelligence, you cannot bring that outdated knowledge in here. So you have to update. You have to change your thinking. Get the right information so that you can fit in and take advantage of what is available. If the world knows that you cannot operate based on old ways of thinking, how can you access the new thing God is doing with your old way of thinking? How? In that program, they said the future, they were asking about the future. You know, what do they see in the future? And what struck me was one young man said there that new is the future. New is the future. If you have your old products, that is all you have. You cannot make any impact in today or the future. All you have control over is the price of your product. You cannot influence the market. The world knows that new is the future. A new way of thinking, new ideas, new concepts. Listen, you don't have to even reinvent the wheel. Right? You can repurpose that wheel. And all of a sudden, your life is transformed forever. Hallelujah. I remember a young man, researchers came together, and they were wondering, how can we use this light therapy box, the one they use in treating jaundice, right? And they were saying, listen, I needed to go and get new ideas. And this man came back and found out that you can actually use it to take care of, you know, the sores that you get after cancer treatment from, cancer burns and all of that. Right there and there, that idea, he did not come up with the idea for the box. He just found out how you can use it in other ways than that. And they created a new business based on that idea and placed that young man as the CEO. A team member overnight. The Bible says that the children of the world are wiser in their day. They are operating the principles of the kingdom even more than we. What do you believe? What do you believe? If you believe it's impossible, so shall it be. Your new vision needs a new mind. That vision will only thrive in the minds of possibility thinkers. Don't be quick to quit. You know, these days, people, you know, you don't see a result in 1 week. You don't see change in 2 months. And you just walk away from God completely. You don't even walk away from the idea. You walk completely away from God. I've received, you know, I've had interactions with at least 2 people in the last 2-3 months who have told me that they don't believe that God is real. These are not unbelievers. One actually was a choir member in the church and had been able to lead her husband to Christ. Actually, the husband was the one telling me that I'm actually, you know, starting to come to church and love God. And here is this woman sending me a text that she doesn't believe in God anymore. Why? Because if God was real, I mean, he should have done this, that. And I, are you serious right now? The other young man, I mean, the entire family have been like
all over, pretty much everywhere, on TV, ministering and blessing lives. And out of nowhere, I'm going back to African tradition. Are you serious? Was God even real in the first place to you? God takes you through, you know, just, I mean, it's not like he just kicked you in there. He leads you through the valley. And you say, man, this is not, this doesn't look like harvests. He tells you to spend the night in the lion's den. They are only roaring. They're not like attacking you. Ah, what kind of God is this that will put me here? But you need to go through certain seasons in preparation for that overflow. Because when that overflow hits, if you're not ready, you will lose your mind. Ah. You know, I'll say this. Jeff Bezos, we know him, right? Richest man in the world. I found out this week. Amazon was unprofitable for about 20 years. Think about it. That's your grand vision. You have a plan to change the world. And 20 years, you are not seeing any profit. You are not seeing any meaningful progress. I mean, in the first place, what have you been doing for 20 years? Believing this thing. I'm very sure a lot of people may have written, you know, books and told about what not to do as a businessman and cited him as an example, as a failure. Like, how could you continue running a business that is unprofitable? And you are still focused, carrying on. 20 years. All we hear about today is he's the richest man. But think back. He was in the valley 20 years. He kept at it. People say, this is not working. Get out of here. Oh, no, no, no. I have my eyes on something. Abraham saw something. What he saw kept him consistent with God for 25 years. Bearing the name Father of Many Nations. And you had not one child. And people will call you father of many nations, actually mocking you. But you carried on 25 years, not 25 minutes. Joseph, that wasn't an overnight miracle. He didn't just enter the pit today in the evening, get into Potiphar's house, and in the morning he's in the prison, and in the afternoon he's in the palace. No, 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 no. He caught a vision. In fact, he was minding his business and God gave him a vision. And he shared his vision. And the people that he thought he was secure with, he said, you must be out of your mind. They did not. Listen, the worst thing you will ever do is to think that there is some kind of partnership in believing. That you can actually partner with somebody to believe your own vision. Except two of, in fact, even when two of you are in partnership for something, you better believe strongly. So this man was thrown into the pit. God saved him from being killed. The plan was to kill him. And then you see the people that you're expecting to join faith with you sell you off. You go to this strange land, young boy. What do you know? And God, in the midst of it, the Bible says that he drenches the plowed ground. He causes favor to work for you. Even while things are not working, while you think things are not looking good, favor is working. You are not dead yet. You are not in the ER.
It's difficult. You don't have so much in your account, but you're still moving. You can rise up in the morning and say, maybe you rise up with a little pain, but you are still moving anyway. Hallelujah. He went into Potiphar's house, and that was where the Me Too movement started. This woman came at him, and he had to maintain his integrity with God. Amen? And he told me, listen, what is more important to me right now? Is it this 5 minutes or forever? The destiny of a nation is in my hand. The compromises you make, what is the cost? What are you losing because you compromised? He went from there to the prison. He should have said, this God is not real. It's like, I mean, and in today's world, they will say, you must be cursed. How can it be you received a vision from God? I mean, it's just bad, from bad to worse. Everything's just going wrong. Nobody likes you. You're always getting into problems. Your boss doesn't like you. And you go for deliverance. But sometimes, God will have to take you through a journey to get the attention of somebody. He needed to be in the prison to reveal the secret behind the dream that positioned him right. And you know, the story wouldn't have been sweeter if he just went from his father's house straight to the palace. Now we can tell the story because of the dynamics of it. And right from the prison, based on his gift, he was diligent all along. But God gave him something that was mind-blowing. If you had told him in his father's house, you are going to be in charge of a nation that is not yours. Think about it. Let me blow your mind. If I tomorrow become the Secretary of State, she has to believe. You notice that I stuttered a little bit. Wow. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now there is a place I will say this and they'll call me to the corner and say, listen, what is wrong with you? Because we let you in? Glory to God. Joseph saw something. And that was why he kept at it. He didn't give up on God. He didn't turn his back on God. And he ended up where the Lord had determined for him. Talk about Jesus. For the joy that was set before him. For the joy that was set, he saw something. His vision was right before him. You need to focus on your vision. Focus on your harvest. Focus on that overflow. Do not let anybody encourage you out of the will of God. You know, a lot of people come and they encourage you, say, oh no, it's okay, just slow down, take it easy, you know. You know, this, you know, some things happen, some they don't happen, and they encourage you out of your overflow. You have to be mindful who you're going to encourage you. Because that is how they bring their tradition and their ideas, their old way of thinking into your life. And you let it all in. And then you compromise the vision of God for you. And so, Jesus saw something. Abraham saw something. And I believe Jeff saw something. For him to stay at it for 20 years. And it didn't look like he was going anywhere. And today, in almost every home, you're going to see an Amazon wrapper. He stayed focused. He didn't give up on that vision. The overflow that is coming is not for those who quickly give up. It's not for those who quit so easily. because it will come. Remember, in this season, the Lord will punctuate your life with supernatural interventions, miracles that will blow your mind. You're about to shout for joy for the things he's about to do in your life. We talk about Caleb. Caleb in the Bible. At the age of 40, right? He saw something. Let me say here, Winston Churchill said this. He said, the pessimist will always see difficulty in every opportunity. But the optimist will see opportunities in the face of difficulty. So what do you see? Because what you see and what you believe will ultimately inform what you think, what you say, and what you do. Those people showed up, saw giants, and were like, they didn't see the blessing. They saw the obstacle. And they gave up on God. Why would God lead us here? Caleb was focused on the mangoes. Giants were right in front of him, but he couldn't see them. I mean, they were not significant to him. What he was seeing was the blessing, was the overflow. Obstacles right in front of him, giants. He was seeing right through it. And he was already, you know, focused. That should be my own area. I should take that whole piece of land. But those other guys were scared. Like, God, you can't be serious putting us here. Why didn't you take away this obstacle? Oh, no. I remember I shared here last year, how big is your God? Right? And when we talked about absolute possibilities. Caleb was looking at the big fruits, looking at the milk and honey, looking at the beauty of the land. Those guys were looking at giants. When you lift up your eyes to see, what do you see? What do you see? What are you focused on? Listen, even 40 years after he caught that vision, because he believed in that vision, he was taken over by what he believed. 40 years after, he had strength enough to still go back and take what belongs to him. Listen, what you believe, what you are focused on, cannot diminish over time. It doesn't fade over time. If you have a vision to be a captain of industry, whether you are 90, it doesn't fade. You are still seeking opportunity for that dream to come to pass. You don't give up. You don't quit. Listen, if the Lord says in 24 hours, I'm going to show up in your life. Listen, 23 hours in, I'm still waiting. Hopeful. In faith. Why? Because that 1 minute is a lot. It is a lot. So I'm not going to quit after 2 hours. I'm not going to quit after 5 hours when the enemy comes and starts to dance in my front. No. I'm waiting. 23 hours, 59 minutes. That 1 second counts. I'm waiting. God will show up. God will show up. Why? Because he had ordered it so. That is how it is going to happen in my life. Hallelujah. So whatever your dream is, stay focused on it. Don't give up too quickly. Don't believe that because it hasn't happened in your lineage, then it cannot happen for you. A lot of people will suggest otherwise to you, but by God, please believe what God has given to you. Because it is not up to you to bring it to pass. God
has already done everything to ensure that you get to that place. So if you're surrounded by hopelessness, surrounded by negativity, don't let it get in. You see people living in abject poverty, surrounded by poverty, surrounded by defeat. And then you see a star emerge from there. They didn't let it in. They were seeing something different. Check every person that has emerged from such situations and ask them. You'll see them tell you about what they were looking at, what their dream, what they were focused on. One day, I'm going to play in the NBA. One day, I'm going to serve in Congress. One day, I'm focused. They've not had breakfast or lunch. And dinner, there's no hope. But one day, as I close, I want us to look at two scriptures. Somebody say, my harvest is guaranteed. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. And I want us to read it in the Message. Oh, glory. Just let it get into you a little bit. Jesus said, if there are no ifs among believers. Abraham didn't say if. Joseph didn't say if. We are here today because somebody didn't say if. Anything. Your dream, your vision is part of anything. Your future is part of anything. Whatever it is you can comprehend 20 times over. Anything. Anything can happen if you believe. The only if is that, can you believe? What do you believe? Let us go to Psalm 2, verse 7 and 8. Same Message translation as we wrap up. It says, let me tell you what God said next. He said, you are my son. You are my daughter. Today is your birthday. Today is your day. This is your season of harvests. This is your season for open doors. This is your season for overflow. Next verse. It says, make a wish. What do you want? What do you, just say it. Catch a vision. Declare that vision. What do you want? Is there any limit in that word, what? That is a blank check. What do you want? It is up to God, not up to you. If you can see it, we heard, God will see to it. He said, name it. Do you want a nation as a birthday gift? Do you want a whole continent as your prize? You remember a young girl danced for her father and they gave her the head of John the Baptist. If a man can fulfill that kind of promise, how much more your God? He is the author of life. He said, what do you want? Do you want a nation? I'm very sure a nation is bigger than whatever vision you have. you want? Next verse. Is there anything there? You say, you can command them all to dance for you. You can define how it happened. Just say it. Speak. Speak. Destinies have remained abandoned because people were silent. You just kept quiet. You said nothing. You made no declaration, but you were hearing other people say things. And that was how the faith was going down. And you lost focus. He said, you can command them all to dance for you or throw them out with tomorrow's trash. Tell him what you want. Catch that vision and tell him, this is what I want. Then the Bible says, the book of Ephesians, now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly, it's not just above, see, far above. So exceeding is not enough. Abundantly is not enough. He now took it far above what your mind can comprehend. He can do. That is what he feels makes sense to him. So whatever vision you have right now, it's like, why should you be thinking so small? Is that what you think of me? Don't bring God down to the level of human beings. Listen, Bible says, hope that is seen is no longer hope. So if your vision that you have today, you can gather a few people in your life and they donate money to you or do a few things and make it happen, that hope is seen. It's humanly possible. Take it to the realm of impossibility. Those who believe, that is where they live. In the realm of impossibility. Where human beings will look at you and say, you must be mad. I say, I know. I believe. I know a God who is able to do exceeding abundantly, far above all I can ever imagine or think. A new way of thinking. That is the way believers should think. You are not taking no for an answer. You speak it into existence. They say no. Say, don't worry, I'm coming. Let me talk to my father. Say, Father, I need a nation. I need a continent. This vision has to happen. This opposition has to get out of the way because you said you have ordered it so. And so shall it be. Can we rise up on our feet? Glory to God.